It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Hey, it's the weekend, and you tuned in to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you listening each and every week for our weekly babble and musings about food in your backyard. But I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
It's all about the yard bird today, buddy.
Oh, man. That's one of my favorite things. You know, I think that the yard bird is a good option for the grill, but there's some tips and techniques that we need to talk about because, you know what? The last thing you ever want to do is get that little red bone when you've had your third bite of that chicken thigh and you get down there and it isn't done right.
Colonel Saunders figured that out.
Yep. Yeah, well, they broast, right? I don't have a backyard broaster.
He's got that pressurized deep fryer. That was crazy, but yep. It works.
Right. Yeah, well, get her done. That's the bottom line on your yard bird is get her done.
Yeah,
you don't want raw, but you don't want to overdo it either because she'll dry out in a hurry.
So we had to record this show early because I am leaving the studio and headed to the UP with my brother-in-law, Paul. We're going up to Munising to open up the cabin.
So Munising is like right on Lake Superior, right?
Yep.
Before you get to the Keweenaw Peninsula there.
Yeah, it's halfway across the UP.
Yep.
Between Sault Ste. Marie and Keweenaw.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, if you've ever heard of Pictured Rocks, Grand
yep.
Marais,
yep.
That's where it's at.
Well, there's some breweries up there too, Bob.
Probably.
Yeah. Are you going to be doing some interviews up there?
No, I'm going to be doing some fish interviews.
Oh, you're going to try to do a little fishing, huh?
Uh-huh. I had to prove last year to Paul that there were walleye in his lake.
Yeah?
It was a funny story because I said, holy cow, I got a walleye. He goes, no, it isn't. I go, look at this. He says, you think that is? I go, I know it is. Look at it. It's a dual dorsal fin. That's a walleye.
Right.
We throw it in the net. He's got one of those cages, you know, over the side of the boat. And we killed the crappies. We killed everything. We just had probably.
You mean you caught a lot of them.
Yeah.
You didn't kill them.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you threw them in the net.
It was the perfect day. And we got back to the dock. And there was like two fish in it. There was a hole in the cage. The walleye was gone.
Oh.
The proof was gone.
Right.
So he took my wife out, his sister, Maureen. He took her out the next day to try and repeat the crime. And they got skunked. I went out by myself and caught a couple fish, but they were nothing to speak of. But I couldn't catch another walleye.
Right. Yeah, the guys down at Allen Bob's last weekend, when if you missed us down there, we wish you to come down. But they had a little event down there, and Barbecue Bob and I were providing some meals down there for people that would come up and celebrating Allen Bob's. But I got to talk to Merle, the general manager down there, and they were getting lots of great walleye reports right now.
Wow.
And so I talked to him about what they were biting on, right? And he said, you know, the little rubber curly tail jigs, just bumping them is a hot bait. And, you know, they sell minnows. And you can tip it with a minnow if you want and probably get a little bit better results. Mm. But you might want to, probably too late. You're all packed and ready to go. But I was going to say,
well,
bring some jigs up there.
My tackle box, when I leave here, I'm shooting over to Lansing and I'm hooking up with him because he's down in Hillsdale area.
Okay.
And so if I text him when I leave here, we'll get to Lansing St. John's about the same time.
Right.
And I'm sure there's one of those J's on the way up in Gaylord.
There is, in Clare. You're going to be going right up 27.
Well, there's one right on the exit in Gaylord.
Yep, there is. Yep, you're right. So.
Plus, there's a great little spot right down the street from the cabin that's got the worms and the minnows.
That's where you
want
to buy it anyway. Yeah. Support the local guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's up there. And he's got, what, in Munising, he's got a three-month season.
And well, this is south of Munising. When you head east on 28, just a couple miles out of town, you come up out of those big hills, there's a road that heads south called Forest Highway 13.
Okay.
And that shoots all the way down to US 2.
Okay.
And you just go down about 10 miles, and it's called Island Lake. There's a ton of lakes down there.
Oh, yeah.
And two tracks. You can get turned around. Everything's spaghetti. But
right.
I got it kind of figured out now after 30 years.
Right. Right. Well, you know, you only go once or twice a year. It's going to be that way. But so you're going to go up, go and do a little fishing. Going to bring some cast iron with you.
We got to.
Or does he have it up there?
Got to open up his cabin.
Right.
So we really have some work to do. But we'll get in. We'll sneak some lines in the water a little bit. Dip a line, and I don't know what he's got for cookware. I'm not going to worry about it. I brought. So
all you're doing is making a trip to the local pub. I know how that rolls.
No. I brought skinless, boneless thighs from Sobey.
Okay.
I went there Tuesday.
Might have had some of those left over from our cook at Allen Bob's.
And I got a couple of beautiful sizzlers. I mean, tri-tips.
Right.
And so I made one last night for Maureen.
Yep.
And I've got one for Paul and I. And we're going to so that thigh, I'm going to talk about how I'm going to do that up there in the third segment.
Okay.
But I did a little practice run on it the other night. And so that's what I'm going to cook Saturday night, tri-tip Friday.
When we get into this yard bird a little deeper here in the show, you'll find that I think Bob and I are of the same opinion here. My favorite cut of chicken is a skinless, boneless thigh. They're juicy, they're full of flavor, but you can cook the heck out of these things, and they're still good.
They're forgiving.
Yeah,
a bone-in thigh does the same thing.
Right.
You know, you can be asleep at the wheel and burn it a little bit, and just peel the skin off, and it's even better.
Yeah. Right. You know, and we'll talk about seasoning that too, because there's a little technique that we can use when you peel the skin back and season underneath it and put that skin back down there, and it makes it a tasty little deal.
So I took the day off work today to do all this, but also my son Alex came home today.
Oh.
He's been in Kuwait for a year.
Right.
And so I took the first half. I already was taking the second half of the day off. I called my new boss and said, hey, I'm just not coming in. He's like, that's fine. And sure enough, Alex showed up at 10 o'clock. So
nice.
I got to spend a couple hours with him, and his girlfriend, Caitlin's with him.
So it's been a year since you've seen him.
Yeah.
And he's serving our country, mm-hmm. and he was over in Kuwait. And so
he's a Chinook inspector.
Right, right. So those big helicopters that move people and equipment around.
Twin rotaries.
Right, yep. He inspects those after the guys do maintenance on them. So good for him. But you know what? Thank him for us, for his service to our country, because, you know, he wasn't over there by choice. He volunteered.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong, but they put him there for a year. That's a long time.
I really wanted to see him this morning because I'm leaving.
Right.
And then when I get home Tuesday morning, I'm taking him to the airport. He's flying down to see his sister, Emily.
Right.
And he's already bought a motorcycle down there. He's going to pick up a new motorcycle.
Okay.
And he's going to drive it out. Around, he's going to head out west and see his buddies out in Utah and Colorado. So he's going to be on a road trip for like 12, 15 days.
Right. Well, good for him.
He's pretty excited.
Nice break.
Yeah.
Nice break after what he was doing. Lived a pretty regimented life for the last year.
Oh,
so
torture.
The open road will be good.
You know what he hated the most?
What?
The smell.
Oh, really?
He said it's the stinkiest place you ever want to go.
Wow.
He said, I don't know what it is, but the place just stinks.
Well, it must be he got his smell back from COVID, because when he left here, he didn't have his smell, because I know he and I had that in common, is that COVID took my smell away, and I'm just starting to get it back
and
from
Kuwait
January.
And Kuwait brought it back.
Yeah, well, I can wait then to get it if I have to go to Kuwait to get it back. But anyway, yes, sorry, that was a bad pun. It's early. But anyway, all right, coming up next, we'll get into a little bit of yard bird here. Free range or mass production, what's the difference? Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys. Hey, thanks for tuning in. It's the weekend. Get out in your backyard, man. Spring has sprung where we are, and I hope it has with you too, man. We had 80-degree days this week. So it's, you know, it's time. Lisa's pressuring me to get the pool open, and I try to do that on Memorial Day weekend every year, and she's wanting to week ahead now because of this warm weather. So,
oh, yeah. I got the pressure on, too.
Yeah.
I'm in no hurry.
Right. the work starts when that happens every day. Yeah.
I wanted to mention also, last night I ran over to Mount Pleasant to Smith & Sons. My buddy Jim over there, the bear hunter, always raises a cow for me. And it came in and it was processed. So I got some for you and a couple of my other buddies. Corey and Shasta from Old World got a quarter. And that place is awesome. If you're in the Mount Pleasant area and you want some good meat, go to Smith and Sons. And my freezer is stocked, but I couldn't feel better because I was at Sobey the day before, and he said prices are just going nuts. And with all the weird, this country's in a weird place right now. I feel like there's a drum roll or something, and I hear all kinds of dire predictions about this and that, and gas is skyrocketing. I think things could come to a grinding halt, or something could just go ape, you know what. No matter what, you should be stocking up on anything you can before it gets worse.
Right.
I'm not saying pay a ridiculous price, but I'm glad I locked in at $2.50 a pound for that beef.
Yeah, and then it was, and then it, but and I was too, and that's why I took a quarter of it, because it's just Lisa and I, and for us to eat, you know, 150 pounds of beef is a lot.
Yeah.
And but, you know, it's one of those things where this cow that Bob had raised, though, you guys, you got to understand this, that Bob's being generous. He divides the cow up into four pieces, right? Everybody gets a quarter. But evidently, this cow that he had raised had a liver that was monstrous, because my quarter of the cow got four full packages of liver. So if he divided that up four ways, that thing is 16 pounds of liver that thing had in it. So you know what? I'm just grateful that they fed that thing well, because I got all this liver and I just, love me some liver.
I think it was a heavy drinker.
Was it? Might have been a heavy drinker that was dividing up the meat is what I'm thinking. Well, I got home and I'm putting that stuff in my deep freeze
whatever.
I was the last one to pick up my quarter. So I know what happened. Is every one of these guys was looking over their meat and it's like, I don't want this liver. Throw it in Joppy's box.
No, they had it all boxed up. I separated the one half. So I gave you my liver.
Yeah. Okay. The truth is starting to come out now, guys.
My point is.
So did the other two guys.
My point is, if you can find a deal on meat or any staples right now, gird your loins, because there could be rocky roads ahead, and you'll want to make sure you got food.
Yeah.
What the federal government just did is they're not paying farmers a subsidy this year. They're actually paying them not to raise products. So I honestly, I don't know what's going on, but I see food shortages coming. That's my thought.
Right. And if you're out there and you're listening to us, hit us on Facebook, The Grilling Guys, and send me a recipe for edible liver, because I don't know if I have one. So
pâté.
Yeah, right. You got to do something to get it to pâté. And
do you like pâté?
I love to party. Yeah.
So free range chicken. free range or mass produced. I'll tell you, the big trend is millennials are raising chickens in their backyards. My daughter Maggie and Christian, her husband, they had chickens. I mean, they had more eggs than they could possibly eat. We had the best egg producer ever. We had free eggs all the time, and they're fantastic. A little smaller, but
right.
These orange, beautiful yolks, they're really more flavorful.
Right, and when you put a fresh egg like that in the pan, it sits up. It doesn't spread out. You crack an egg that comes from the grocery store, it's a few days to a week old when you get it.
But
right?
What's that?
Through distribution. But that brand new fresh one that came out of the chicken yesterday, that thing, you crack that in a pan to fry an egg, it sits up, man. It just sets her at attention.
Well, if the rooster was on Viagra, that's even more the case.
No, they're the free range, man. The ones that run around your daughter's backyard.
What's it, omega 5, omega 7? What is it?
I don't know.
They're full of those. Really healthy eggs are full of omega something.
Okay.
The omega man.
Right.
Yeah. So, Jop, how do you pick a good chicken? Let's say you're going shopping. How do you pick a good piece of chicken?
Well, you look at it first, but no, you. I think for me to pick a good piece of chicken.
I threw him a third ball.
Yeah, you did. Where I go with that is that I don't like the pieces that are too large. Sometimes they're harder to cook. I'm going to go with the breast. Okay, so many people
like the Amish chickens.
Yeah, so many people think the skinless, boneless chicken breast. Are you going to let me finish? Or are you going to right? The skinless, boneless chicken breast that so many people buy. They think that's the best cut of the chicken. To me, it's number two or number three. But sometimes you'll see those in the meat case. And they come to a point on one end, and then they're round on the other, right? Like a chicken breast. But that thing could be like 2.5 inches thick on that thick end. I do not like those. I mean, I don't want the paper-thin ones either, but I want it just maybe an inch is all. Because when you get that thick end done, that point on there is way overdone. And it's chewy, and you might as well just throw it away. So I like them a little more consistent thickness. That's how I choose skinless, boneless breasts anyway.
Can I talk?
Yeah. You can now.
That's quite a role.
You asked the question.
That reminds me of a brisket or a tri-tip. They have the same issue. You got a big end and a little tail.
Right.
Like a swimmer. So with chicken breasts, when I get the big ones like that, I'll do the same thing I do with a brisket, is I will find out where that flat part stops, easy for you to say, and where it starts to get big, and I'll just cut that there.
Right.
And I'll cook those separately. And I do the same thing with a brisket. I cut the flat off it, and I cook the flats and the point separately, and they just turn out better. But with chicken breasts, I've been doing that for a long, long time. It makes that little flat spot taste beautiful because you bring it to 165 and you don't have the leathery.
And pull it off while the other part's still cooking.
And that's for you to eat while you're cooking the rest.
That's right.
A Jop treat.
Right. And you can cut. And another thing is once you cut that heavier piece off, take your knife and go across the piece of chicken and fillet it open, butterfly it, if you will, and make it equal thickness. And that'll work too. But if you did that,
you wouldn't even have to cut the point off.
Right.
You could just butterfly it.
Right. But at that point, be careful because once you cut that open, it dries out a little bit quicker. You've got a huge surface where those juices are coming out. The whole breast isn't intact anymore. You've actually cut the muscle before you're cutting it before you're cooking it. And I think it just dries them out a little quick. So
that's not
careful.
A word.
Right. You know, if you've got a tech like I do and Bob does, which is an infrared grill, best machine on earth to cook a skinless, boneless chicken breast. But anyway,
So
Trevor's waving at us. It must be time to go to
my point was
a
the
break
Amish
here.
Chickens that
right?
Sobey sells.
Right,
big breasts.
Oh yeah,
big.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Right, they're awesome. All right, coming up next, I heard those Amish chickens might have orange thighs too. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan. In Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids, it's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards. Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. we went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. Yeah, we were just talking about the Dutch girls. I'm sorry. We are in West Michigan, though, so you can do that. And it was not derogatory at all.
I don't even know where you're going.
Well, what we're talking about is those big Amish chickens that are here that have nice thighs as well as nice breasts. So let's talk about our orange thighs.
Nobody ever talks about chicken butts.
Nope.
I think they're slighted.
Right. Well, that's because it's reserved for the hog. We always talk about pork butts. We don't talk about chicken butts.
So I played around. You're right. I did have a bunch of skinless bone. I bought too much for the Alan Bob's Millbrook event. And I want to thank the folks at Millbrook and Alan Bob's. I think they're going to rename the place like Millbrook Bob's or something like that. Yeah, that's what I heard. And anyway, so turned
into a cantina.
The final day, the Sunday, they had their company picnic.
Right.
And I cooked for that and brought out just some fantastic brisket. I mean, I was really, really fussy because I had one Friday. I did not like it all. And so I thought, man, this has just got to be perfect. Well, what a nice group of people. If you want to go get your sports stuff, if you want to get your curly tails or anything like that for walleye, go to Alan Bob's. They just have a group of people that is fantastic. And I had some of those. So everybody at their events ate butts and brisket.
Okay.
Had all this chicken. Nobody ate it. So I didn't even make any the second day and the third day. So I did end up with a bunch of skinless, boneless thighs. And I cryovacked. I got my vacuum packer out like you always do.
Yep.
And I thought, I'm just going to package all this up, and it'll be great. Threw it in the freezer, fortunately, before the cow got there. And I had one breast left, one thigh left, and it was like 10 o'clock at night now. My wife's out on the porch on the swing looking at Facebook, listening to the birds. And I thought, man, I haven't eaten all day. I've been on this diet. I'm just going to play around with this thing. So I took that one piece, and I cut it up into kind of bigger bite-sized pieces because it's going to reduce.
Almost like stir-fry pieces.
Yeah. And I just wanted to play with it and see if it'd be any good for stir-fry, for one thing, because right. I've just never used it. I always use steak or shrimp, right?
Right.
So I did that, and I put some sesame seed oil, and I'm going to put this recipe on the website. Chaz is going to take care of that. I have it all written up. I took some toasted sesame oil from Old World.
And you have to be careful with that.
I love it.
Oh, I love it too, but a little bit goes a long ways of that toasted sesame oil.
Yeah. So anyway, I took maybe 2 tablespoons of that and 2 tablespoons of their garlic oil.
Right.
I put it in a medium skillet, cast iron, cut all those pieces up, cut some onions up, and I threw that thing in there. And I started sauteing the onions, sauteing them. And then I put just a little bit of soy sauce on it. And I put some ground ginger, some white pepper, and I touched it off with a little bit of sugar and a little more sesame oil because it just seems to want to disappear on you, right? And I took a couple clementines that were getting ugly. Those are those little bitty
Tangerines,
yep. And I peeled them off, put them into separates, and I little pieces, and I spread them out over the chicken. I put a cover on it for about 5 minutes, and I turned it off. And
that cast will hold heat for a while too. Yeah,
I got some orange marmalade, and I dolloped it on top, and I put the lid back on for another 5 minutes. And I brought it out to the porch on a small plate because Maureen said she wasn't hungry. I said, I'm going to make a little chicken. And I brought it out, and she goes, what's that? And I said, oh, just a little experiment. I brought you a fork in case you want to feel brave. Right. She's really a chicken when it comes to food.
Yeah.
No pun intended, but she was looking at it and she goes, "Smells kind of good." So she took her fork and she tried a little bite and she goes, "That's not bad." Next thing you know, we're scarfing down this plate of these little tidbits. I think it would have even been better with just a touch of, leave it the way it is. The recipe is going on the website. I'm calling it Orange Thighs in memory of,
right.
It's just good. You'll like it. And so if you can use a skillet on your grill, like my Cajun grill.
Well, you can use that on a gas grill, too. You can't use your big one because the lid won't close.
Well, what I was going to say is if you can use a skillet on your grill, do that on your charcoal grill and get some of that savory flavor from your, like I'll be generally using my big Cajun, and that's made
which is a charcoal grill
made by the Percy Guidry company. And then the next session, we're going to talk to T. Gid, and he's got some chicken secrets that he's going to let out of the hen house.
And it's always good to talk with him too because it's all Creole. I mean, he's in Lafayette, Louisiana, and he actually has his own show down there. Where he's a video sensation. He's got a face for the video. We're just stuck with the radio. But at the end of the day, this guy teaches cooking and recipes all the time, and it's going to be kind of cool.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's called Grilling with the Gurus.
Yep.
Him and his buddy, they are silly. I can't imagine going on and producing a show and being silly.
No, I know. We take ourselves so damn serious, right, that you have to do that. But, you know, the other thing that I really enjoy doing with a chicken, a yard bird, is this spatchcock method. Sounds like a funny name, but all you're doing is you're cutting the backbone out of a chicken. Buy a whole chicken, right? Pull the giblets out if they're stuffed in there or whatever. And then there's the little tail that you can see, and you're going to run a pair of scissors. Kitchen scissors are the best.
Poultry scissors if you have them.
There you go. Yes, that's what I meant to say instead of kitchen. Thank you. Both sides of the backbone, and what it's going to do, it's going to open that up, and then you're going to see the rib cage where you just cut the ribs out. And I'd take a sharp knife, a smaller knife, because you want to get just between the ribs and the meat.
A fillet or boning knife,
right,
is good for that.
And get those bones out of there. And then what'll happen is you can flip that over and lay it on your grill, and that the thighs are going to splay out, that breast is going to open up, and you've got it now flattened down. Now before you do that, you're going to want to season that. There's a raw side and a skin side, right, if you can envision this, and the inside. And you're going to want to season that with whatever you use. You know, we've got everybody's got a variety of seasonings that they use for chicken. But
so that's a good one. Rob and I used to do that in our class. And what you reminded me of when you were talking about the poultry shears is that you still have mine. No.
Yeah.
Is that when you cut that spine out, you know, it's spineless now, right? So it's just like a politician.
Or tofu eaters.
But it'll be real obvious because when you're cutting up the back, you're really cutting the ribs.
Right.
So you won't have any trouble finding those ribs when Jop talks about slicing those ribs out. You won't have any trouble finding those ribs. They're going to be cutting your hand as you make that cut up it.
Right.
So you'll see they'll be real obvious, and you just slide your – I use a boning knife, and I just slip behind there and slide it down gently. And
almost like you're filleting a fish.
They fall right out.
Right.
And then when you do that, now you've got even a safer piece. Some guys will bone the whole thing at that point. Like T. Gid, he'll do that when he makes turducken.
Right.
But you can also smoke this piece of meat.
Ooh,
but here's
yeah.
the key. Rub it, season it. I always cook the skin side down first because you want to render some of that fat off. And if you do the bare side down, it tends to want to get a little bit overcooked. So you just got to play with it. But whatever position you put that in on your smoking rack, that's your presentation. So the only thing that's going to vary are the direction of those kneecaps on those drumsticks.
Right.
You can flip them in or out. There's a certain look to it. Just decide how that's going to look.
Yep.
Because once it starts cooking, you're not moving them.
Right. Right. But it's a great presentation. It's easy for people to eat. Super easy to cut up into portions.
right? Because you've got those ribs out of there, so you can cut the breasts off easy. You can get the leg quarters off easy, and bam.
You ever go to a Boy Scout barbecue?
No, I've never eaten barbecued Boy Scout before.
Did you see those big fire pits on the side of the road when they're trying to raise money?
Yeah.
Well, that's basically a half a chicken or a quarter chicken. That's what somebody did.
Right. Yep.
And those are great to put on flipping racks, too.
Sure. All right, coming up next, T. Gidd from the Percy Guidry Grilling Company is going to be with us, Nick. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Joe from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys, the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. And we got an opportunity to talk to one of the board members here. You've heard us talk to T. Gidd before from the Percy Guidry Company down in Lafayette, Louisiana. I had lunch today at a place called Tupelo Honey's. And I think Tupelo's in Mississippi, so that's got to be close to him. I had this guy. Man, I had some fried Southern fried chicken that was unbelievable on a Cobb salad. Really good. T. Gidd, you know how to make Southern fried chicken?
Man, let me tell you something. I don't know if it's as good as what y'all ate, but I can hold my own yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was good because it was on a plate in front of me. That's why it was good.
Let me tell you something, bro. We fry everything. I think we invented frying stuff. You know, we fry shrimp, crawfish, whatever.
Yeah.
What's up, Big Sexy?
Man, I'm on the road. I'm actually on the Chaffala Basin. I'm looking at beautiful cypress trees in the swamp. It's beautiful out here.
What's the temp today?
Let's see. The temp's probably in the mid-70s now.
Gorgeous.
We've been getting a lot of rain, man.
Yeah, I heard that. Like several inches an hour rain. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about selling my bass boat and start building an ark or something.
Yeah. Biblical, dude. Yeah, right. We are getting none. We're getting none. I'm really wishing I had sprinklers.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, man. We got y'all share. I'll try and send some up your way, man.
We've got all kinds of it in the ground around us. We're good. So listen, it's the Yardbird Show. And I know you've got lots of ways you like doing chicken. And I just wondered what in particular might be tickling your fancy today.
Well, you know, in Cajun French, we call chicken poulet. P-O-U-L-E-T, poulet. And so bon ton poulet is kind of a little catchphrase that we use around here. That just means good time chicken. And they got a famous... Talking about fried chicken, they got a pretty famous fried chicken place that's born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana. And they do a thing called ripping chicken. And they basically take a chicken breast and they leave it connected on one of the long sides. And then they basically, like a starburst, they just come about 1 inch, 3/4 inch, all the way down from a starting point. Just kind of cut it into like little slivers, but it leaves it connected at that one side.
Oh yeah,
and that way when you batter it and fry it, you know, it you basically just rip a piece of that chicken off.
So
why would you do that? What's the benefit?
Looks like a blooming onion then.
Well, yeah, or like we cook like jalapenos.
Looks like a blooming onion.
Yeah, we'll hit a jalapeno on a stem and put 4 or 5 cuts in that, right? Same thing, yeah. Yeah, I get it.
There you go. So the benefit is that you're getting all the seasoning and all the breading and the, you know, the fried loveliness all around each morsel of that arm or that finger, that chicken. And so me and my partner that do the grilling with the Guru Show, we said, man, we could do something like that. We could call it like bon ton poulet, bruh. We could barbecue it with the same concept. So, you know, when you're doing a chicken breast, it's a big piece of meat. It's like smoking a brisket. All the seasoning and love is on the outside. It's hard to get it on the inside. So whenever you cut it up like that and you season it with your Cajun seasoning or whatever type of seasoning you love, and then you come back and grill it or slow smoke it, and then you put your barbecue sauce, and once that barbecue sauce starts dripping down them little fingers, man, let me tell you something. That's magic, bro.
Well, you know, we're famous for our big Dutch chicken breasts up here, so we'll have to send you down some of these Dutch chickens we've got.
Yeah.
Dutch. Is it like a little turkey?
Yeah, right, yeah. Just a little brother.
Honestly, our buddy, the butcher, Tim Sobey, sells some Amish chickens that are like Chernobyl chickens, man. They're huge. And they have three beaks.
Right, yeah.
And it'll pop you up.
Yeah, right, yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I think I read about them in the Book of Revelations.
Right, but anyway, that sounds awesome because you're right. If every bite's got that seasoning and that flavoring on it, that's just going to make that a whole lot better.
Could you send me a picture of that?
I probably can. Since you asked, I will.
I just want to get the process down for how you're flaying it. I think I understand, but I want to try it. And, you know, I love those Bloomin' Onions at the Outback. That's the only thing I like there. And I think that would be a really cool, you know, sampler plates are so big when your friends come over. I think that would be really cool to have a bunch of those stood up and have some different types of dipping sauces for them, you know. And I got a nice deep fryer.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what we do. I mean, and the other thing that's kind of common down here, it's actually a local Cajun company that made injecting pretty popular. It's called Cajun Injector, and they make it in all kind of flavors of injectable marinades. And, you know, we inject our chickens because, again, you know, when you're cooking a chicken, the skin is basically an encasement. It's hard to get all that seasoning and that flavor inside of a bird. So if you got a syringe and but the neat thing is that, you know, you don't have to buy it. You can make your own. You know, you use some, you know, light color. I don't like using dark colored seasonings because it kind of makes, when you bite into it, you see that big, you know, dark strain. It's like, what's that, you know?
Right.
So I use some of the lighter seasoning, like, you know, garlic powder, onion powder, sugar, some, you know, and you basically cook it down. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, whatever. And you just basically cook it down and let it cool off, and then you get you a big syringe and you suck some up and inject it into the leg, you inject it into the thigh meat,
nice.
The breast.
Dude.
And then you barbecue that. Yep.
Dude, I got an idea for you. Do your coating on it, deep fry that baby, and then have some of Big Bob Gibson's white sauce and dip that baby in the white sauce before you serve it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Well, dude, you see, that's why I love you guys. See, I mean, y'all challenge yourself. You know, I mean, you don't just take the status quo and run with that. You say, I can make it better. And we did the same thing. You ever heard of barbecue fried chicken?
No. What's that?
Okay, well, we did that. Well, okay, so that's another thing we attempted. And everybody said, well, you know, where'd y'all see that? We didn't. We made that up because we're Cajuns. That's what we do. So you take some chicken parts, you know, the leg, the thighs, the wings, the breast, whatever, and you basically slow smoke it till it's about 85% cooked. So what does that mean? Well, you want an internal temperature of around probably 150 to 160. You know, you want it almost cooked. And then right before you pull it off, of course, you sauce it up, right? So you put your favorite barbecue sauce. You let that get tacky. And then you put a skillet on the Cajun grill, and you get that fire hot again, and you get that oil temperature up to, you know, good frying temperature, and then instead of washing the chicken in an egg wash, you wash it in, you don't wash it in anything because you already got the chicken compound, you got the barbecue sauce. So then you roll it in some flour, and then you throw that in the skillet, and you slow fry that till you get the finished done temperature. Mm. And let me tell you something.
Smoked and fried.
The first thing when you know, well, you know, everybody says, you know, good barbecue, it has a flavor profile. You know, you get that first taste on your taste buds, and yeah, then something comes in on the backside. Okay, well, the first thing you taste when you bite into that, because we smoked it with apple wood before we put the barbecue sauce on, the first thing you taste, you would think would be the fried, you know, the friedness. The, you know, right, when you eat something fried, it has that fried flavor. That's not what you get, bro. You get that apple wood smoke, and then you get the sweetness from the barbecue sauce. And then on the back end, you get that crispy fried chicken flavor.
I know
it's
guys
amazing.
I know guys that will deep fry their chicken wings after they've smoked them. Robbie and I did that a couple times too. Rob Russell.
Right.
I do it almost every time because I don't like the rubbery skin that comes off the smoker. I like it a little bit crisp. Oh. So yeah, and I just do it in a Dutch oven. And just get the oil
he's
hot,
bragging.
Dump them in there, man. It's all good.
T. Gidd, he's bragging. He finally got him a Dutch oven after busting my... Can I say balls on the radio?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Listen, brother, we're out of time, but you know I love you.
Yeah, thanks for making time,
T. Gidd. Love you back, bro. My pleasure. Y'all keep up the good work.
All right.
Come and see us. It's nice up here.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm coming.
All right,
buddy. See ya.
I'll be good.
That's T. Gidd from the Percy Gidry Company, home of the Cajun Grill.
All right, stick with us. We'll be right back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Bob, it's time for some man law. Hello.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Hello?
Yep, today's man law says, man will not live in his parents' house past the age of 27 unless they are ill or he is in the war.
Well, this sounds like a homegrown man law from the Nirmico household because he's got some men that are approaching that age.
Who just came home from
the war. Right. So I
know
that's
actually,
a homegrown one right there,
I
baby.
Got this off the Urban Dictionary.
Okay.
But it did. And
appropriate.
And you know, my boys do not want to live at my house. Although Alex will live with us for a year while he finishes up his
degree.
Engineering degree. Yeah, he has a couple classes. Okay, here's Michigan. Here's college in America. Western. Big engineering school. He's a chemical engineering major, toughest one you can get. He has 64 credits from another couple of colleges they will not take because, nah, they're snobby. But you've got to take three electives from Western, from one of our foreign professors that you can't understand anyway, at 10 times the price you paid for those 64 credits that we're going to tell you to stuff.
And it isn't even 64 credits he needs. He probably needs like a dozen or something.
He needs nine.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got 64 that they won't accept.
Right.
Oh, but these are just electives. You know, just take a class, whatever.
Anyway.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess it
colleges
will.
In America, we've lost it. We got to do a total overhaul there, pal, because the price, I mean, kids are going a buck and a half in debt.
Right.
And then they say, well, forgive our student loans. No, I'm sorry. You're paying those professors too much. You're paying the administrators too much. We got to reinvent college. Or don't go. There's a better thing. Just go learn a skill. Go down, find yourself the local electrician like Beist Electric in Grand Rapids. Fantastic example. They have a training program. They have a training program. Those electricians at Beist, after a few years of making $70,000 a year, and they're home every night, and they have no student loan debt, right, and they have benefits that would blow you away. They get profit sharing. They get company stock.
Yep. It's an option, right? Not everybody wants to be a college student. Not everybody wants to be a tradesman. That's how things go around, man. It's all good. But if you feel so inclined, hook up with us on Facebook, or Bob is on that tweeter. And you can always go to the Grillin' Guys website. It's the Grillin' Guys, one G in the middle, thegrillinguys.com. All the recipe, including the orange thighs, are on there. And I think you'd find something that'll maybe inspire you to create a little grill envy in your neighborhood. Right?
That's right. So. Hit thegrillinguys.com. Look for the earmuffs. Sign up for our podcast, Thousands and Thousands of People podcast. Get on the train and... That's all I'm going to say.
All right. We'll talk with you next week.